Lame. All right, now we say, I am everything the Word says that I am. Every promise in the book is mine. I stand on it. I will claim it. I believe it. In Jesus' name. Now raise your swords up. This is my sword. It's a weapon against the enemy. Contained herein is my destiny. I'm not only a hearer, but I'm a doer of the word. There's a word for me today. I'm alert, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Now turn to somebody and say, I heard what you said. I agree with you. And by the way, it's okay to have fun in church, right? We enjoy. I was brought up in a lot of orthodoxy and whatever, and the Lord says, you know, I want you to just enjoy. So we're here as a family. We're here part of the process. Dedicating our children is a celebration of life. And that according to God's word, life is to be a celebration. Now let me turn just a moment here. How many know we're in challenging times? Anybody? In the midst of the recent terrorism, the riots in Charlotte, seems like, and then apparently this last week, there was a murder in Minnesota. It's just absolutely, San Bernardino massacre, Florida massacres, New York bombing. It just goes on and on and on. How many know we're not in Kansas anymore, folks? When you look at the removal of the moral compass in this nation, the reformulating of the principles in which this nation was built upon, and the redefining foundational structures as family and authority and religious freedoms, in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all of that, let me just tell you something. My machine will work because I've got to get to this part. Here we go. In the midst of all of this, I've got good news for you. How many people need some good news for a change? The Lord says, I not only know the beginning from the end, I know the end from the beginning. I've been ministering on this the last couple weeks. There's a difference. I mean, the Lord says, I've got everything covered, so we don't have to be afraid. When I look at my grandchildren, and you almost want to say, I'm not letting them go out of the house with all the things that are going on. But it's wonderful as a Christian when God comes and says to us, I not only know the beginning from the end, I know the end from the beginning. And he says, we win. He says things like this in the process. The Lord says he will cover and protect us as we look to him. He will cover and protect us, Isaiah 43, verse 1. He says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. What kind of solace does that bring, that as a parent, knowing that our kids go out, or our wives or our husbands go out the door to go to work in the midst of situation, to know that the Lord says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. I've told you the story that when we moved from Chicago to California, where all the crazy people are, and I found that to be true. There's a whole lot of them. But it's home now. In the initial stages, and you think about Chicago now, it wasn't like that when I was there. And we loved Chicago, but the Lord says he moved us out here for a reason. I was afraid to let Pat go out the door. And I mean, I was literally just, it was, and I've told some of you the story, that I know that, first of all, one of the first trips down to Monterey, Carmel, we're driving on 101, and coming the opposite direction in the same lane as we were, another car coming right at us. I don't know if you've experienced that, but I said, I'm going back to Chicago or any place else in this place. But the Lord taught me. When Pat would come up late, this was before the kids, when she would not show up at the right time, or she said, I'll be home at 5, and it was 5:30 or whatever, I would immediately go into some kind of panic attack. And you know what that's like. I mean, it's just something's... It was a negative situation until the Lord sat me down and said, son, let me just tell you something. I can take care of her better than you can. And by your worrying and by your anxiety, and by you're not helping one bit. So from that point on, I made a commitment for not only my wife, but for my kids and now my grandkids. He loves them better than I do. And I know that he can protect them better than me. So every morning when I send them out or wherever the situation is, if we pray for them, I said, Lord, they're in your hands. And no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And it's such a freeing thing to be able to know that God Almighty, creator of the universe, is watching over my kids and my wife. How good does that make you feel? And you, when you send your kids out, when they get older, or when you go to work, and when you go to work, to know that, Lord, you're protecting them and you're watching over them. It's such a wonderful, freeing thing as Christians. Jesus said, I came to give you life so that you can live in joy and abundance. So be confident and know that I am with you. Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 29, verse 14, 11 and 14, which is my favorite verse. Listen and put your name in here, because he's speaking directly to you. For I know the plans, and for your little ones, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and be confident. You will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. The three verses that I've shared, this, it has be confident in it. If that's the case, what are the reasons that we can be confident for the future? How many know that nobody, one of the greatest attacks of the enemy is fear of the future? No one knows what the future holds, right? So consequently, there is what, and most people today, because of all the negativity that's going, we always go to the, not the blessing part, but what could happen. They could be in an accident. First thing, someone shows up late, there could have been an accident. Something maybe happened to them. And it's always that propensity of mankind to be negative. Just, I know something's happened to him. I know something happened. And the Lord says, no. That's not the way we're supposed to be as Christians. He said, what we want to do, when it comes to the future, the Lord says, I know the end from the beginning. Now, you can say amen. That means I agree with you, Pastor. Amen. And that encourages me, because when you're quiet like this, I get very insecure. Amen. She just said amen. How can we, when we don't know the future, how can we be confident in it? Do you know there's a way? Do you know that the Lord says, I know your future. I know exactly what's wrapped up in these little ones. I know every detail of their lives. And do I have a plan for them, the Lord says. We talk a lot about destiny here. And I believe, and I know, and I prove it in God's word, that he creates everyone on earth with a destiny that he's placed within them. That destiny is God's plan for their lives. It's filled with the greatest joy. We're going to have trouble in situations. That's life. How many people had some challenging times last week or this, right? We do have it. That's part of life. But the Lord says that I am with you and I will turn all things to the good. Same thing with cancer. He turned things to the good, right? And the initial stage, both of us have had cancer. It's not a nice experience, but when there's prayer behind it, and I've told you the story, I was looking forward to what the experience that I was going to have. And it was something, cancer is not from God. He doesn't stop what mankind has done, just the deterioration process, and I can't go into that because we'd be here for a week, but you know the story that God gave mankind a perfect place to live. There was no sicknesses, there was no crabgrass, there was no mosquitoes, there was nothing but goodness. But he gave man a choice. He said, I'm not going to force you to follow me. What I'm going to do is give you permission to be able to turn away from me if you want. That's really what love is. The other side of that is nothing but making us prisoners, forcing us. But he's never forced us to love him. So he places the tree. Don't eat this because it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That means once you eat of that, then you're going to know what evil is. I don't want you to eat that, but you can eat this other tree, the tree of life, which means they would never die. So they bit into the apple, and Adam, the man, says, she made me do it. And that's not at all the case. That's not at all the case because Adam was right there standing right next to her when she said, I think I'm going to take a bite of this apple. Well, go ahead. But that ended everything. From that point on, mankind began to deteriorate. And cancer and sickness and all of that is just part of the genetic deterioration process. Did God cause that? No, he did not cause it. But what he does say, that in the midst of whatever challenges that you're going through, I will be there to turn it around to the good. And I tell you, I would rather be with God and have cancer than to have cancer and not be with God. Amen. Because when they stuck that turkey baster in my arm, I don't know about you, but I hate that stuff. I don't like holes at all. I keep hearing this advertisement about giving blood, you'll save three people. And I said, I will do that if they figure out another way to get it out. But in that whole process of recognizing that the Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you. And I know that all I have, that those plans, the Bible says, eye has not seen, ear is not heard, neither can the mind imagine the things that God has for those who are called according to his purpose. And all I have to do, how many know it's not about being perfect? Amen. Anybody?
Yes.
Anybody mess up last week?
No.
Anybody mess up next week? Probably so, right? It's not about that. It's not about that. It's not about your perfection. It's about your desire to do what is right and to serve God to the best of your ability. And we make mistakes. And the Lord knew that. And he said, well, let me just share you some things. What are the reasons that we can be confident in the midst of all of these challenges that we're facing, that we see today? Let's look at these. What are the reasons that we can be confident? I'm going to give you the 10 best ones very quickly. First of all, God loves you. And there's nothing that you can change his mind. There's nothing that you can do to change his love from God for you, no matter what you've done or no matter what you will do. That is an incredible. Jeremiah says, I know I have loved you with an everlasting love. Isn't it wonderful to know that sometimes when the world treats you like whatever, that the Lord says, no, I love you. I care for you, and you're important to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Something. God doesn't hold our mistakes against us. He's forgotten everything that you have done in the past. He chooses. And I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life when I used to beat myself up for all the things that I did not do right. So I did more spiritual push-ups in order to feel better about it. The Lord says, you're wasting your time if you're trying to gain my forgiveness for what you've done. I took my son on the cross, and every one of your sins has now been forgiven because of him. And if you continue to doubt my love, what you're doing is you're saying, the crucifixion of my son for you was not enough. And I said, wow. He does not remember our mistakes, We have forgiveness. The Lord desires to meet all our needs. How many people have needs? You're going to continue to. The Lord likes it that way. You know why? He wants us to depend upon Him. The Scripture says that He is our source, and God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. How many know that even though we may not feel that we can do something or we're going to get something, that God has a way if it's in His heart, if, because He loves us, He said, I'll take care of you. And in the midst of depression or in the midst of whatever it might be, God says, a Christian is not to fear the future because it's not over till I say it's over. And in that wonderful situation that many times Pat and I have prayed, Lord, we don't know how to resolve this issue, but you've told us the funds or whatever it might be. But the Lord, but we read this verse to you that you said you would supply our needs according to your possessions, not my, our possessions. And we held that up. The Word of God, folks, as you know, that we preach it here, is the basis for everything that we call on God for. And He says that the Word of God will not return without having action. And the wonderful thing about it, that's the reason I like to preach the Word. If it's in the Word and I preach it, then God has to fulfill it. Right? How many people found that to be the truth? The Lord said He will never break His promises. He's a promise keeper. What do you hold in your heart? What's something in your heart that you're holding on to that you know, God, I'd love to be able to see this. I'd love to be able to have this happen. You should be having some aspiration, desires of your heart. The Lord says to us, I put that plant, that seed in you, and I want you to know if it's good and if you know, let me tell you something. He makes the promise to us that as we continue to walk, He will provide that. He will cause us to realize that promise. He's a promise keeper. The Lord is faithful in all of His promises. The Lord is always here for us. Always. The Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So in that time where perhaps she goes out on her first date, I don't know what to do with girls. That's the reason why we don't have girls. I have four boys. The reason I have four boys, I didn't want five boys. The thing is that when I tell people, if I'd had a girl, first of all, I don't think the brothers would have allowed her out of the room until she was 30. But God's grace is sufficient. So when she goes out on that first or that whatever time, to know that the Lord is with her, we send her out with you, Lord. Thank you for protecting her. Thank you for protecting them. The Lord will never leave us or forsake us. And all we have to do, do you know when you say God, you know what He says? Yes. Yes. Can I help you? The Lord is here for us. Next, with the Lord, nothing is impossible. With God, Jesus said this, with God, all things are possible. Nothing can stop His will in our lives. How'd you like to be able to live a life where we say, Lord, with you I can do all things. All I have to do, and by the way, you and God are a majority. All I need, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to deal with this job. I don't know how to deal with this manager. I don't know how to, Lord, if I'm here in your will and I believe that I am, you say nothing is impossible. So I'm asking for your help in this. Raising children in the midst of the bombardment of all that society is throwing at them today, with all of the things that are going on, is it possible that we could raise children in the midst of that kind of challenge? Lord says, nothing is impossible. Nothing. And we trust Him in that. He's powerful. Next, with the Lord in our lives, no challenge will overwhelm us. This is one of the ones that I like. He promises us that no problem that we face will ever overwhelm us. How many know you have to be God to be able to say something like that? How many times how many of you ever entered into a situation where you felt like you were over your head? Right? I know I have. Yeah? Somebody raised both arms and a leg. But we have His word on it. I promise to you that nothing, as you're walking with me, will ever be too heavy for you. The Lord said to me when I got the word about cancer, I reminded Him of this. I remember going through the colonoscopy and coming out of La La Land, and I heard the doctor, heard the doctor talking sort of loud over here as I was coming out. And he came up to me and said, we found cancer. And I went into denial. Can't be. I mean, I ride 20 miles a day on my bicycle. I'm fit, all that kind of stuff. You got cancer. So Pat came up afterwards, and we're walking out of the hospital. And I said, how bad can it be? And they could have told me that I had cancer. And she thought I was sort of still on La La Land. But I just sort of made a light of it. She said, you do have cancer. And I said, no way. And she said, the doctor said, way. So I said, what? And I've prayed for people and they got healed for cancer. Happened many times. That's another story. And I asked the Lord, are you going to heal me? He says, not that way. But He promised us, I'm not going to do a miracle on you, because I could stand in front of Brent and said, I know where you're at, guy. Been there. And I have a ministry to people who have cancer. But the Lord said to me, and I reminded the Lord, you said, and I'm saying it in front of Pat because sometimes the wives carry the greatest burden, don't they? Yes, I know. And I said, Lord, you promised us that nothing is going to overwhelm us, because your word says you will always give us the strength to deal with it and a way out of it. That's the promise of the Lord. And how many know He doesn't lie? So I laid hold of that. And I remember through a lot of circumstances, the best surgeon at Stanford University the doctor taught surgery at Stanford was my physician. Everything was fantastic. I was out of the, I don't know how long you stayed, but I was in, it took me less than 3 days after the surgery to get up and get out of there. I don't like hospitals either. You fall asleep and they wake you up to see if you're sleeping. The issue was, Lord, you got us through. And you didn't have chemo or anything else, did you? I mean, that's the killer. I mean, that is when, no chemo, no nothing. It was awesome. And it's 5 years for me. And the doctor said, we don't want to see you for 5 more years. I said, let's just agree on that. I'll call you. And they were happy, and I was happy too. So never be too, God's plan for your life is better than we can imagine, right? We can live a life of celebration. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. It's better than you can imagine. Next, the Lord is committed to us. Do you know that He wants us to succeed? Do you know that? Yes. Do you know that He wants to do everything He possibly can for you to see your children succeed? And you know the best way that your children can succeed is if you too succeed. The Lord says, I'm on your side. He's on our side. And you know, along with the other promises that he's given to us, he said, we can do this together. Marriage is tough. Raising kids are impossible. There's no book. I mean, we read books, but the kids didn't follow the books. Wait a minute. You're not supposed to do that. So you know what we did? I worked it out. Sean, number one. Sean is my first son. We tried everything on him. If it worked, we passed it down to the other ones. If it didn't, we wouldn't pass it down. So he was our guinea pig. He turned out pretty good, though, by God's grace and by his mother. Because I don't know. You listen to your wife about your children. She's the greatest expert that you have on your children. And we men are just, I don't know. He's crying. You take him. Or she's crying. But there's something unique about God working through a praying mother for her children. There's nothing more powerful on earth other than one thing, and that is a husband and a wife joining together. And when you two pray together for the blessings of your children, according to God's word, it is the most powerful thing on this earth. Two agree, touching anything, it shall be done by my Father which is in heaven. And you don't have to go into big elaborate prayers. Bless Addison. Bless, Lord, watch over them today. If they get a fever, Lord, we're praying that the fever goes away. That heaven opens when a husband and a wife come together in prayer. And the last one, he died for us. The greatest gift that we have, the greatest confidence that we have, is that everything that was necessary for us to walk in victory has been accomplished for us. We look at the cross as a reminder. And by the way, that's a plus sign. It's not a negative sign. The hard part has already been taken care of. And Jesus comes and he says, I came down earth. Do you know if you were the only one Jesus would have come for? So how important are you? If there were just one, you know about the 99? Jesus leaving the 99 to go after the one? That one may have been you, but he said he left the 99. So if you were the only one on the face of this earth, Jesus would come back and die on the cross just for you. Is that awesome or what? And we walk around worrying about tomorrow. We walk around fearful that something bad's going to happen. We live a life where everything of the blessing of the Lord that we're supposed to be living in, we end up fearful. Jesus says, the Father says, I have done it all. And it's completed. And I want you living in that confidence. And all you need to do is say, Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior. When they get old enough, that's all they do. Jesus, come into my life and be, and it all opens up. There's no grandchildren in heaven. They're only children, his children. And one of the things that we need to recognize that as a part of the family, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life, and that life more abundant. So I say to you, friends and family, those listening online, one of the greatest things you could ever do in your life is to invite Christ to be the head, just like they did today. To be the head of your family, to be the head of your children, to be the head of your business, to be the head of whatever situation is. Because I found out a long time ago, and I taught it for a long time here at Celebration, that God is smarter than we are. Anybody, right? He's smarter than, why do we argue with him? He says, what I want you to do is be confident. I've gone before you to prepare a way. I want you to know that I know the plans that I have for you. He's not just throwing out rhetoric. And we're closing, by the way. He's not throwing out. He is committed to his word. And he will not break his word. So when he says to us things each day, I want you to live in that childlike faith. And then let him guide and direct your steps. You know, when I want to pray, serious prayer, you know what I do? I grab my grandkids, Bryson, Aiden, and Caden. Lucas is up there too. He just says, amen, amen. But you know, they don't doubt. They don't doubt. I say to them, do you think Jesus can answer this prayer? And they go, yeah. Like, what? And that's the way we're supposed to be. Do you believe that Jesus can help our family? Yeah. Caden is not feeling well. Do you want to pray for him? Sure. I watch Caden pray for Lucas. Just put his hands on and start praying for him. Jesus' name. Be healed. Jesus' name. I'll tell you, that's faith, folks. They don't doubt it for a moment. But we who are intelligent, we who have arrived at this particular place, what we're doing is saying, God, will you please? I hope that you will do this. I wish it would happen. Grab a hold of a child. Let them pray for you. Watch what happens. And then as we draw closer to him, he draws closer to us. He loves us. Why are we confident? He forgave us. He's provided for us. He keeps his promises. He's always near. He's all-powerful. Confident. Destiny. Committed to us. Our Savior. I came that you may have life, joy, and abundance. Be confident and know that I am with you. I said 2 weeks ago, the greatest thing that I believe that we can do for the Lord is say, Lord, I believe you are who you say you are. And you just said all these things to us. So next week, or when the doctor says she has a fever or something like that, we say, Lord, it's not what they say, it's what you say. And he wants us to live in joy and peace and to walk around not with a frown, but a smile on our face. It's amazing what happens when you smile at someone today. It's amazing when you do something kind for some. You know, once we understand this, then we start worrying about ourselves because we're confident that God can take care of us. And we start saying, Lord, what can I do for you? Well, I want you to go over and just pat that person on the back and tell them, have a nice day or something like that. Let them have that parking place. Let them have it. What? It's amazing when you live in that confidence. It's fun, too. And everybody said? Amen. Bow with me as we close. Father, thank you. Thank you for the confidence that we are presented with. That next week, next month, you've got it all under control. And that we can commit our children and our grandchildren, commit ourselves to you, saying, we've never been here. I've never been to this, but I'm walking into it, Lord, with the confidence of knowing that you've gone before me and to prepare a way. And my heart's desire, Lord, is that that confidence would be shown to you that I really do believe you are who you say you are, and you can take care of me, and you can take care of mine, and you'll show us what's the right way, the best way. to face life. And we claim that together. We agree together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Only those who receive something today can stand, okay? Stand with me. Let's give the Lord a praise offering as we close this morning. Amen. Amen.
Before we say a word, you're a good, good father.
Amen. Ross, Adam just told me that you are about ready to go through a procedure.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do, I want you to extend your hands. I'm going to pray for Brent right now. I mean, you know, the prayer works. Father, I just come and bring my friend to you. Lord, I know the complications that can set in, but I also know that you're bigger than cancer. Lord, we're asking for you to invade this situation. Father, I speak healing because your word says to speak healing, and what that does, it opens up the door for you to orchestrate your plan. Lord, I release that healing word, and I curse this cancer or the residue from it, that whatever is going on in his body would come to order, that there would be peace, that there would be healing, and that would be a sense of your handiwork in this. I pray for peace for Jana too, in the name of Jesus. Because as I said, I know that the wives carry the greatest burden. But Lord, I ask right now for you to invade this family, this situation. And Lord, we place it in your hands by faith, and we trust you, and we claim it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 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 Take your neighbor's hand. Take your neighbor's hand as we do here. Lord, we agree for your perfect plan for my brother and my sister on my right and left, that you would move upon their lives, that you would encourage them, that this week would be filled with your joy and the confidence in you that we are to walk in, and we claim it together in Jesus' name. Lift your hands before the Lord. Father, I release the benediction upon your people here and those listening in line. I release your favor, Lord. I release your grace. I release your provision. And I release that anointing. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And we claim that together in Jesus' name. And all God's happy people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Turn around and give somebody a hug. Have an awesome week in Jesus. Amen. Amen. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near. When this darkness breaks to light.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.